Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're just glad to be here. And on the way up to West Virginia here, I just began to look at the mountains and think how God smiled on the West Virginia folks. And Barbara says God sure knows how to dress, doesn't he? When we saw the mountains with the different color leaves and all, it's just amazing. The thing that God has, He gives us spring. We want to see the flowers blooming and the trees begin to put forth their buds. But then in the fall year, it's beautiful too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Amen. And then a little later on, we can drive up the road and we can see snow-capped mountains. And that'll look good. So we just thank God for that. How good He is to us. He not only gives us many good things in the natural, but the thing is, He gives us the best in the spiritual, doesn't He? Praise God. Amen. So today, we're reading in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. The fifth chapter, and we'll begin reading there, and we'll just see how God will lead us. And once again, we're so glad to see each one of you, and we thank God for each and every one of you. And we plan on spending eternity together. Hallelujah. And now we've come to the age when that is very, very possible. But before reading the Word now, let's just bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this another opportunity to come, Lord, to open Your precious Word. Lord, in reading Your precious Word, it's the only book in the world, Lord, that tells where we came from, where we're at, and where we're going. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll anoint us to speak things that will be of a benefit in nature to Your people. And Lord, that You'll anoint each one to receive. And may the Word of God go forth and accomplish that You've ordained for the closing hours of human history that we're living in. And we'll be so careful to praise You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to take a little thought this morning. And the thought will be finding the little book within the big book. Finding the little book within the big book. Because there's a little book in there somewhere that's very special to a very special few. Amen. And that very special few is called the wife of Christ, and called the bride. The bridegroom will be united, and we become one flesh with Him. But there's a very special part of the Word for her, see. And as we go along today, I want you to show you what Jesus did at Calvary and how that He redeemed the whole earth and all things that are therein, see. All, not only humanity, which is top of the list, but even all the animals and all the trees and all the waters, everything, He redeemed it and bought it. See, because Adam one time had control of all that. He was the king of the earth. God gave Adam the earth and says, conquer it and so forth and multiply and conquer the earth and so on. But we find that Adam failed. And throughout time, God raised up different men to keep truth going forward. Until Jesus Christ came, the Lamb of God, the real seed of God. Amen. And we know the story of His life and how He lived here for 33 years and then gave His life for to redeem, spill His blood to redeem this earth and all that it consists of. See? Amen. Now, there's another opposing powers. There's the old devil. We know that. And We know that part, but all that's going to be done away with, and Lord's willing, you'll see why that is. Amen. That there's an opposing power. Everything that you know that's good, that you should do, amen, there's always a voice telling you to do differently. And when you do what's right, amen, go according to the true voice, then He gets glory out of it. In other words, He didn't fix you as a robot that puts you here and program in you certain things and you can't do anything different. You just like a little machine or something doing certain things. No, but He gives you a mind. He makes you a little God, see? Amen. How many know that? Where you can make decisions, you can build things, and you can do things. And it's just amazing what God has done. Well, that's just a tiny example of our great God. Amen. And last week's message was a message that we've heard quite a bit about, and some good thoughts where we preached on the demon become our bridegroom. You know, in the days of Job, you that have heard the message. He said, "I would to God that we could understand." And said, "I'm very fearful of God, afraid to, if I pray or if I try to do something, He might throw me away. And if I wash myself in snow water, I'm still not going to be clean." Well, the Lamb of God took care of that, see. Amen. So Jesus bought the whole thing. He bought everything back. Amen. That Adam lost. And Adam had everything. And God gave a book here, this Bible, and there's not going to be any other Bible. See, and the Bible says that you can't add to it and you can't take from it because it's complete, see. Amen. But there's a part in there that's called a little book. Now, there's two things I want you to notice here specifically. When John sees this one on the throne with a book in his hand, sealed with seven seals, it's not called little book. Because when you go there, you'll see the elders saying, "Thou art worthy because thou hast redeemed us from all nations, kindreds, and tongues," and so on. But then when you come to Revelation chapter 10, and Christ, in the form of the mighty angel, come down, He brings down a book that's called the little book. Now, I want to, I marked this off specifically here. I'll just do this before reading. Paul's writing of the New Testament. And I'm just going to turn this page. See how big the Bible is? A big book. See? But this is the little book right here. Amen. The written part of the little book. And this is what God brings down, Christ brings down to interpret for us and to perfect the Gentile bride, because this book here, the little book, deals specifically, don't miss that word, specifically with the Gentile bride. Now, all the other is just as important to whom it applies to. See, but all the word of God is true, but it all don't apply to you as the Gentile bride. See, some of it applies to tribulation saints, some of it applies to foolish virgins, and some of it applies to Israel, and this, the different parts that God has placed within it. But He wants you to find the place that applies to you in your time period, see? Now, when Jesus went into the temple, after coming, after the 40-day fast, and after being tempted of the devil every way, He went into the temple, and they brought Him a book. See? And the Bible says He found the place. See, He found the place that says, "Thou art anointed to bring deliverance to them that's in captivity, to give sight to the blind," and the many things that He read there in the book of Isaiah where it applied to Him specifically. Amen. He read that and then He closed the book. and he gave it back to the minister at the temple. And all eyes was upon him, the Bible says. And he opened his mouth and began to speak. He said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes." Or ears, how will he say that? In your eyes, I guess it would be. "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." Amen. And he pointed to a specific place. He just didn't open the Bible and say, "The whole thing's a word. I'll just hunt me a place and read." No, that was a specific scripture that applied to him, and it worked for him. See, that's the part now. It hadn't been long since someone told me, in trying to repute some of the things that God's doing and this way, said, "Well, in the Bible, there's many apostles, and in the Bible, there's many different preachers, and in the Bible, there's many different things." Well, that is so true, see. There's no problem with that. But to a specific people, there's a specific word. Amen. And that's what we want to find, see. Now, when we begin to read in the Word of God what happened in the early church, we'll find, first of all, Jesus went forth preaching. Well, he appointed 12 apostles. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. But he told them not to go anywhere except to the house of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as the gospel came on over after Pentecost, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. But the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, says they went everywhere preaching the gospel, but only to the Jews. And as the gospel began to come to the Gentiles, God selected a certain man. Yes, there was other apostles, there was other preachers, and they were doing exactly what God wanted them to do, see. Amen. You go to Galatians chapter 2, there the apostles had all gathered together to talk about the work of the Lord, what all God was doing and all. Well, Paul and Titus went up to sit in on the meeting. Because they believe in Jesus too, you know. And as they sat there and listened, Paul said, "They added nothing to me but contrarywise." Says they saw Peter and James and John, Cephas, James, John, when they saw that the gospel of the Gentiles was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was, or of the Jews was to Peter, they gave me the right hand of fellowship and said, "Go." See? Go to the Gentile. And Paul said, "So has the Lord ordained me, saying, I'll send you to a Gentile and you'll be a light to them, delivering them from the power of Satan to the power of God." You'll be a light to them, see? Well, now when we look at this, it helps us to understand much of the misunderstandings. And did you catch that? Sometimes we have to understand the misunderstanding. Otherwise, we can't have proper relationship with all those that's involved with true Christianity. Now, I'm not talking here about denominationalism. A lot of that just become tares, you know, and I'm not dealing with that now. But there's a specific part of the Word called the little book. It's brought down to a specific people. Amen. It's not brought down to the tribulation saints. It's not brought down to the Jews that will be converted in the time after the rapture takes place. But God in this hour wants to bring you into a place where you'll be like Christ, look in the Word of God, and you'll find a specific place that applies to you, and go with that, and you will be blessed beyond measure, and the Word of God will work for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, as it said, well, There's many good preachers. Well, I don't dispute that. Amen. And there's many that do this or many do that. I don't dispute that. But what I'm saying is there's a specific word for a specific people. Amen. And what you decide, are you that specific people that the little book applies to? Amen. Now there's groups all around today preaching. And in the realm of what they're doing, they're probably doing just what God ordained them to do. Amen. And we're not here to fight with them. We're not here to argue with them. We're not here to say they're wrong or right. Because if we get what we're to do, then we don't have time to say this one's wrong, that one's right, and this, because the Word will draw those that the Word is for. Amen. Remember when the cry was made and there was 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish? Well, the 5 wise were ready and they went in with Christ, see, which typed the bride. Well, the others went out doing other things, seeking oil. They didn't know the part of the Word that applied to them, see. Amen. They didn't know about the little book, but they knew about the big book. And I turned on TV just a bit down there, and down the basement there, before coming up. And I saw some of the preachers, and you know, and each one of them reading from scriptures. I noticed one reading from the book of James. And he was saying some good things that was the Word, but it was not at all in the realm I'm talking about. You see? Amen. So, what they were saying, I couldn't condemn it and say that's not the Word. I would have to say it's 100% the Word. And probably for the speaker and those he was speaking to, it was 100% for them. But remember this, the 5 went in and the door was closed. And then later the others come knocking and saying, let us in, let us be part of this too, see. Amen. And he says, I know you're not, see. That means there's a wife. That means there's a bride that's married to Christ that have become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And sometimes we do damage to the plan of God if we try to bring in someone that God's not leading, that God's not dealing with, that God hadn't called for this purpose. It's just like Christ has his wife, and he's in the bride chamber, and the door's closed. Well, to bring another woman in there, no matter how good she is, see, it would be something that Christ would not accept. It would be something that the bride, their spirit, wouldn't accept. Amen. Just like a man marries his wife, go on the honeymoon. Well, the bride don't want to take 3 of the bridesmaids with her into a honeymoon suite. Amen. Because they're to become one flesh. Amen. Become one, the bride become one with the bridegroom, just him and her. So, therefore, it's so very, very important in this hour, in order for us to have our thinking straight, in order for us to see things the like Jesus sees them, in order for us to be led by the Spirit. Amen. And in order to be established in the way of truth, to find that little book that's for the bride. Because in finding that little book, you begin to find your place in Him. Hallelujah. Now, many read some of the things that Jesus said, and everything He says is 100% true. But when we read the 15th chapter And this is a scripture I refer to quite often. When we read the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, we find it's clearly stated that Jesus Christ came to the circumcision to confirm a covenant that God made to the circumcision, which was Israel. That's verse 8 of Romans, the 15th chapter. But you keep reading on the verse 16 of the same chapter. Paul said, now, God has made me the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. Hallelujah. And with that, we begin to see where God's thought came, amen, as He introduced a virgin to Christ. Now, first of all, I'm going to read my scripture in just a moment. Let's get this in so you'll see. First of all, no place in the Bible did Peter call anyone a virgin as a church. No place did Peter bring in that the church was she, and that by one Spirit would be baptized into His body. No place. No place did Peter mention that would be a fivefold ministry. No place did Peter mention that by one Spirit would be baptized into His body and the nine gifts that God has in there. No place. No place did John or James write about these things. Amen. But there's a little book that was taken up that got sealed up. Amen. Because the church did like Adam and Eve there in the beginning. Paul said, I fearless as the serpent beguiled Eve. There was other voices in the land. And you'll read in the book of Acts where that there was certain people of the Jewish religion, certain brethren. And they went down to where Antioch, where Paul was preaching to the bride, the Gentiles, and they began to preach, except you be circumcised and keep the law, you cannot be saved. And they began to preach to abstain from certain eating certain meats and drinks and so on. Well, it got the church there kind of confused. Now, knowing that Peter was a great apostle, and no one denies that, and no one should. But Peter was not your apostle. Amen. Jude was a great man, and I praise God for him. And when I get to heaven, I'm certainly want to go and shake hands with all those great men of God, those apostles that came even before the church age messengers came. And they brought great things for their people. Amen. And through the church ages, there's people. Now, Brother Brown came, and the Word of God talks about the Lord Himself will descend in heaven. First of all, there will be a shout go forth. A message go forth around the world. Amen. And then He will call out a people. And then it goes into another phase. The Lord Himself shall descend in heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Amen. God is enlightening the bride as to where she is, what she is to believe, amen, and who she is, and what part of the Word of God applies to her. And then, just after that, God sent a great apostle whom I honor that God has called home in 2004, Brother Raymond Jack. He took and he went into Isaiah. He went into Zacharias. He went into all these Old Testament prophets in the Old Testament and showed us exactly what's going to happen to Israel in the second part of that fifth seal. And nobody don't try to argue with him on it. And don't try to touch him and don't try to say he's not right. He is right. Amen. But God took him off the scene having cleared that up. Because why did God do this for you? Because He loves you. Amen. He wants you to know Amen. And isn't it so good that just think back just a little bit with me here. Had not God sent a prophet, Brother Branham, well, we wouldn't know a lot of these things, whether we should join the Baptist, the Methodist, Church of God, or which one we should join, or what we should do. But here come a message to call us out and call us together. And then we used to have a radio station on here in Beckley, not on anymore, but it's called the Everlasting Gospel. That was the name of it. I'm preaching the Everlasting Gospel. Well, that's all right, but the point is, it was all right for him to say that, I guess, but the point is, the Everlasting Gospel is not even to be preached till the last part of that 70th week of Daniel, and it's to be preached by 144,000 Jews that's called out by the two prophets. Amen. And the bride's in glory at this time. So you see why it's so important, the little book. Amen. And you see why it's so important. And God used Brother Jack, and he told us the land Israel's getting back and so on. And that was his calling. But to show you the goodness and mercy of God, how he brings it step at a time, that was his job, and he did it well. And I wouldn't want to stand for anybody to speak one word that would be detrimental to what he said and done, because you would be wrong. But God took him off the scene, and now he's moved it into another realm. And before God took Brother Jackson, he made sure that the people there that was to go on, that they would have to move on by revelation. And he did this by letting Brother Jackson say something that wouldn't be exactly what we need as to being the final phase of the Gentile bride. Okay? Like when Brother Brown came, he said, the word don't come to nobody but a prophet. God never has two men on the scene at a time, and God don't have two prophets on the scene, and said, the word don't come to nobody but a prophet. Well, that is all foreign language to the New Testament. To turn in the New Testament and find that said, you don't. And to say it to be a New Testament teaching is foreign. But then when you look, see, he had the spirit of Elijah upon him from an Old Testament period. Then you can see clearly why he said it. And you're acquainted very well with the happening that has taken place in our day. I went to a church that believed in Brother Brannan. And they would say, Brother Ben, he finished all the mysteries of the Bible. The word don't come to nobody but a prophet. And he was the seventh one in the last. There's not any more counsel. What we need to do is just get the spoken word books and read them. And, of course, there are churches around this area that concur with that, see. And I said, well, how about the fivefold ministry? He said, well, you know, that probably happened somewhere back down through there. We don't really know about anything like that. Said the prophet made very few references to the fivefold ministry. But he said, the word don't come to nobody but the prophet. Well, the Lord had something else to do, and I want to show you what he's done for us. Amen. I began to study and pray about that and realize, Lord, this don't fit New Testament scripture yet. I know he was your prophet. Lord, would you show me how it fits? And I went in the little room of the trailer and say, 40 days and nights, drinking only water. And on the 38th day of fasting, just as Adam and Eve, see, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, see. Not a person, the voice of the Lord was walking. Well, on the 38th day of fasting, I heard a voice come in one side room, low. He was an Old Testament type prophet. As though it was moving right through the room. And I said, praise God, that's it. He was an Old Testament type prophet. Now we can see why he said the word come only to the prophet, because that's the way the word came to the prophet in the Old Testament, say. Amen. But see, God moved it to another stage. Here was a stage where Brother Jackson, God wanted us to know about the everlasting gospel. God wanted us to know about these that come out of tribulation and those that were sealed, what is it, one of the movements today says that there's only going to be 144,000 saved. Yes, Jehovah's Witness. Says, you know, there's only going to be 144,000 in the bride. Said they're going, that's the only one going to be saved. Said they may already be in, but who knows? You need just get reading and praying and join up with us or whatever, you know. You might be one of them. Well, they visited Brother Jackson's home with their literature, and they said, we are the 144,000. And Brother Jackson said, well, that's good. That's fine. Said, could I ask you to do something for me? And they gladly applied and says, yes, we'll be happy to do something for you. He said, please sing me that song that only the everlasting, the 144,000 know. Amen. They sung a new song that only they knew about. Said, would you sing that to me? I'd like to know what that song is. They turned and walked away. See, that has nothing to do with us at all. You see the big book now? It's in there, 144,000. It's in there they preach the everlasting gospel. Amen. All of it's there. Amen. But finding within the big book a little book. See, that's what's opening to you. That's what God gave to you. And having said all that and brought you through these stages here, then we find that Brother Jack says the mighty angel hadn't sounded. Seven thunders hadn't sounded. Said, in my opinion, it'll be seven men that'll come and there'll be seven thunders to finish this thing up. Well, don't criticize Brother Jackson. God had him to say that to stop off there so that they couldn't cross over without crossing over by revelation. Each step you got to move on by revelation. Hallelujah. But now God has made known and revealed the seven thunders has sounded. Amen. The mighty angel has come down. And the little book is in our hands. And we're eating the little book. See, now not the whole Bible. Now see, the point is here, in order for Brother Jackson to preach the place of the Israel, opening the second part of the fifth seal, and revealing the things he did, he had to use a lot of the Old Testament. You see what I mean? He had to use a lot of the Old Testament because there's where it tells about Israel, what's going to happen to them, getting their land and all that. And thank God the big book's open. Hallelujah. But the mighty angel brings just a little of it down. Amen. The little book. Amen. Again, compared to the Bible, look here. That's what's for the Gentile. Amen. That's 14 books and one of them just one chapter that Paul wrote for the Gentiles. Now that is a little book compared to the whole Bible, which is the big book. Now, I'm reading in Revelation chapter 10. Getting back to my scripture, I was just saying that to see how it all fits in. Now, in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, I'm reading, starting verse 1, and John is saying here, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. Now watch this book. He saw a book. The revelation of a lot of these things were sealed away, because we live in a day that neither day nor night. But at the evening time, there came light to help us see our way clear, more clear. But I saw a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Amen. God worked in the seven, and that seventh seal has a specific meaning as it points down here at the end time, seven church ages and so on. And then he says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? Proclaiming, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Amen. Now I want you to watch. Who's worthy to open the book? Now, it doesn't show Christ here opening the book. Amen. But it does show Christ bringing the little book back to earth, see. He's the bridegroom come to get his bride. Hallelujah. Amen. So, verse 3 says, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now, it's a sacred book. It was locked away. No man was able to do this. There weren't anybody. See, it was like the book of redemption. Why Adam and Eve lost all the way back there in the garden. Amen. Had to be taken. Had to take possession. Someone had to take possession of it. Amen. And there was nobody that could do it. Nobody in heaven or earth. Now, those that have died previously and gone on. And there's not a soul that could open it, not even look at it. Amen. That's why God sent a prophet from time to time to reveal certain points in here to the people. And John says, verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now, you talk about something sacred. Just think about this just a moment. No man nowhere. It was all lost. And the point being, I want to bring this a little ahead of what I'm going to get to a little later. But there was no one that had his righteousness like this. He hadn't closed anyone with his righteousness yet. Amen. But there is a group that will be clothed with his very own righteousness. And the Bible says they're dressed in fine linen, clean and white. It's the wife of the Lamb. Amen. When he marries her, he takes off all curses. All, there's nothing against her whatsoever. Amen. She's clothed, and it's just like when Moses married the Ethiopian woman. There was Miriam and Aaron. They began to make fun of Moses just a little bit, because that was like a curse on the Ethiopian. That's a getting over in Africa, you know. And they began to complain about it. They could have said, and it don't give all the complaining they did, mutter against it, the Bible says, mutter against Moses. And we don't know why all the conversation, the Bible doesn't record it. But evidently it was severe, because God in heaven became angry. And he smote Miriam with leprosy from the crown of her head down to the sole of her feet. And Aaron was rebuked too there. And Miriam came and to Moses, take this off me, take this off, pray to God. Well, Aaron had to go out, Miriam had to go outside the camp where the leper people was. Couldn't be in there with the children of God. And stayed for 7 days out there because she got angry. God got angry with her for speaking against Moses' choice of a wife. Because she, in their thinking, should have been cursed, had a curse upon her. And they'll pick it up and ham back through there, but I'm not going to follow that line line here because it'll get too lengthy and take us in several different directions that I don't care to go right now. But when Moses married that woman, she was Moses' bride, and there wasn't one thing against her. Hallelujah. And God said concerning Christ coming, He would send us a prophet like unto Moses. Amen. Like unto Moses, send one. Amen. And everyone that won't hear that prophet will be cut off. Well, in the book of St. John it says, when Jesus came doing these things, saying these things, is not this that prophet? Amen. That's what he was when he walked among Israel. Amen. But when he came to the Gentiles, he came to a people that they called dogs. And did you know even Jesus Christ in the flesh, in his human realm, followed that same line of thinking because he was of the seed of Abraham and came to them? When that woman came to him, had a child that was grievously vexed, and said, Lord, have mercy upon my child, thou son of David. And he says, he just ignored her. He said, no. Then she continued saying, he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And she said, I know, Lord. She called him son of David to start with. See, she had no claim on him as son of David. That's to the Jews. But she had a claim on him as Lord. She said, I know, Lord, that dogs like is not to get the children bread, but said the dogs like to get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Could we have some of the crumbs? You know what Jesus said? He said, get out of here, lady. He said, your child is healed. Amen. So I haven't found this kind of faith in Israel nowhere. Amen. Amen. The door wasn't open to him yet, but he... I tell you, that's one thing I like about Jesus. He'll always find some way to show mercy where many times we don't want to have mercy. He's got a way that he can show it. That's the one we're dealing with. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, them there Gentiles that they call dogs, amen, those are the one that Christ chose for his wife. Amen. And when he did, instead of being dogs, or instead of being a lower class, amen, she became the greatest that there is in the land. Hallelujah. Greater than the brethren. Amen. And so when Paul, he chose Paul, an apostle, said, Paul, I want you to go. I want you to my wife, I want you to get her engaged to me, which is the word for that time period. Amen. And get her in, that's 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 2 and 3, where Paul said, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin. Now don't tell, Peter knew nothing about calling the church a virgin. They were the brethren and all that. But Paul was dealing with something entirely, he was dealing with a little book. He was dealing with that part of the word that applied to the Gentile, and much of it that applied to the Gentile wouldn't apply to the Jews at all. And it's the same thing today. Amen. I'm acquainted with Jews, you know, and without going into a lot of details here. But point being, they will curse, some of them will. You say Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They will actually curse and say, he's not my Messiah. When my Messiah comes, he's coming back and take over this earth, and he's going to do this, and he's going to set up the kingdom of David just like it said in the Bible. Well, he is. But God blinded him to his first coming. Because God said the king would come riding into Jerusalem. But when he came, they were looking for him to come on a great white charger with trumpets blowing, with a band playing. But what did he do? Here come a fella that weren't anything beautiful to look at, Isaiah 53. There's no beauty about him that we should desire. Came riding in on a little mule, we would say, a donkey. And asked, the Bible says. I don't know which kind of animal you'd place that on, but in other words, it weren't a horse. And you know who was following with him and saying, Hosanna? It was the common people, the poor people. And the Bible says, the gospel preached when Jesus came, says he came, he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. So those Jews immediately said, this is not our king. This is a disgrace to us. Look at this nation. Look at all the priests. The high priest knows nothing about him. When he comes, he'll come with all the pomp and all the glory and the horns blowing, the trumpets blowing, and he's going to put out all of our enemies. Well, you know what? He's going to come just like that. But it's after the bride's gone, after the tribulation period, and here he comes. Hallelujah. Come set his kingdom up right there in Israel, just like he said. Praise God. But you see how important it is to find our place in the Word of God. What applies to us. Hallelujah. So, he's taking a bride out, and don't say anything against the Jews, because they're going to come in, and they're going to have the most beautiful spot of land there is. Amen. Where the King of Kings will sit on the throne, there'll be other little thrones around where the 12 apostles will rule in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthews. Peter said, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. What are we going to have? He said, in the millennial, in the regeneration, you'll sit upon 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, that has nothing to do with the bride at all. This is entirely different, something else. But the whole book was open. We know it all. You know it all. And you had to know it all instead of knowing to, in order to know what applied to you. So if Jehovah's Witness come knock on your door and tell you, we're 144,000. See, that only applies to Israel, and they don't even come into being till the middle of the week. Amen. See, the two prophets come and prophesy to Israel 3.5 years, they're slain, and then 144,000 are sealed with the Holy Ghost, and they'll hit the world with the gospel. And as they hit the world with the gospel, the greatest thing, it'll just shake up, and that'll be during the great time when God's judging nations and so on, and God opened doors that's been sealed closed. Make way for the 144,000. Where's the bride? How many knows where the bride's at? She's in glory. She's done left. Yeah, she's done gone up. All right, so there's a little book. And that's what Christ brings down to earth. Now, I want to drop this in. I'm getting too long here again. I want to bring this in. Amen. A lot of people today, they'll talk about God said. God said. I love God. I was led by God. And God this, and God that, and God this, and God that. Well, the point being here is, when you're speaking of God, who are you speaking of? Hallelujah. Paul spoke of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It gets more personal in this day and hour. It's not just God said. When you said God said, you're talking about an eternal spirit. Amen. That's everywhere present at the same time. Amen. You're being married to the bridegroom. His name is Jesus. And he's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, now watch what God made him the head of all things that pertaineth to the church. Amen. And he is the mediator between God and man. So let's go to Jesus. Amen. Now, we were down in South Carolina. Barbara remembered in the service there. And we had a visiting, we had a minister down, so we had him speak. I had to talk to him some. He seemed to know his way around a little bit. But probably within the message that he preached, and I didn't count them, I should have. I guess everybody didn't know I was going to speak of it because I didn't realize he was so extreme on these things. But he said probably 25, 30, and maybe even more time. God told me. God told me. I love God. And God told me this, and God told me this. And said, the neighbor's the dogs knocked this trash can over, and he weren't real friendly to me, but says, God told me to go set the trash cans up and pick up all the trash and put it in. And God told me this is a way to be a witness. And God told me, and over and over and over, God told me. God spoke to me and God said. Well, the point being here is, where's Jesus in all the arrangements? Yeah, where's Christ? Amen, the bride. We're a closer relationship than just God. We love God, and to love Jesus, you love God. That goes right on through. But God, Christ come as a mediator between us and God, because God's unapproachable. No man can approach to Him in that light, in the way it is. No man has seen God at any time, neither can any man see Him. You can see a light, and God can manifest Himself in the cloud and so on. But as we come to this part now, the closing here, amen, let's love Jesus with all the heart. Let's appreciate Christ. And when you say God says, that put it totally impersonal. Okay, think on that just a moment. Amen. If I come visit you and you tell me, Brother Howard, you know what God said to me today? You know what God did? You know what God told me this, and God told me I better put some new tires on my car because these are getting slick. God told me to be sure and check the oil in the car, and God told me when the gas register get down low, to stop by and put some more gas in it. God told me this and God told me that. Well, you know, when you get that, hey, how about Jesus, I love you. Jesus, Jesus, He's the one that I adore, you know. That's all. You can see God in Christ. See, that's the one. God smiles when you see Him in Jesus. Amen. So instead of God did this, God did that, God did, then let's, how about what Jesus done? Amen. All right. So, just bring that in. Let's get this, let's personalize this. We're not talking anymore about someone that's a fire upon the mountain. Now, I could get that scripture in Hebrews 12. Starting about verse 18, 16, 17, 18, long of that, but I'm not going to read now because time's not going to permit me to do it. But he says, you have not come to, now watch this, you have not come to a mountain that burns with fire. That's what Moses went to. You haven't come to a trumpet that sounds louder and louder and louder. You haven't come to such a fearful sight. When even Moses himself said, I feared and quaked. He said, but you've come to Jesus. You've come to a heavenly host of angels. You've come to where the spirits of just men are made perfect. Amen. That's what you've come to. Amen. I love it right here. Praise God. Now, the big book here, let's continue with it just a bit. Now, it says nothing about the little book yet, but the... In order to take the big book, the little book had to be taken too, see? Amen. Now, don't say, I'll just tear out of my Bible the part that applies to me. You'll go wrong because this is the whole Word of God. Amen. How many believe it? Amen. And it's a wonderful Word. It's the plan of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's the story of redemption. Amen. From Adam all the way to the end of the millennium. Amen. It's all right here. Amen. But it's not something that all this is not something necessary for you to try to understand and be able to quote. Amen. Because God give you a specific area of the Word. Oh, praise God. I hope somebody got what I said. Amen. Brother Pitts, that you knew. He said, you ain't hearing me. Amen. I listened to that tape the other day about the camel. Where is that? It was a little bit. He said, you're not hearing me. Amen. But see, God did these mighty great things for us. Now, when He took the book, see, He was a bloody lamb that took the book. It wasn't the bloody lamb that came to earth to bring the book to you. But it was totally necessary for the bloody lamb to claim all the redemption, and He paid for it there at Calvary. Now listen as we read here. And then I'll kick this part off here somewhere just a little bit here. But it says here, no man was worthy. You know. And then verse 4, I wept much because no man found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to look at it. Look there on. Then he said in verse 5, and one of the elders, now you're getting away from, you're not in the bridegroom yet. These elders, they're strictly the Jewish deal here. One of the elders, notice how it says, one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Weep not. And I'm telling you, weep not. Today, we have found, I have found the way. I have found the book. I have found what applies to me. And I've found that God is good, but I found as He filters itself down through the Savior, and finally it's Christ that we're baptized into that body, and we become a very, very part of Him. Therefore, Christ was heir of God. Amen. We're heir of Christ. Amen. And we're one another. Behold a line. Now what? Behold a line of the tribe of Judah. Still in the Israeli realm. The root of David had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. That was the Jewish man. I'm saying that is flight. The Bible says he was the seed of David according to the flesh. He's the one that came. He's the one that prevailed. He's the one that and watch what he said. And I beheld, here's what John saw. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Where did that take place? Somebody tell me. Where did the slaying of the lamb take place? This lamb. Calvary, on Calvary's cross. When he looked up, raised his head, he didn't raise his hand because it was already nailed to the cross. He said, it's finished. He gave his last blood for this great plan of salvation. Not just for the Gentile. Not just for the Jews, but for all nation, kindred, and tongue. All whose name were in the book, he took it. And redeemed them. Praise God. And then he goes on and said, and the Lamb, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent forth into all the earth, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now watch, he took the book, not the little book now. But the little book was in what he took. So he took the whole plan of salvation. But within that plan of salvation, there contains just a little part of it. That's specifically for a wife. A Gentile bride. Amen. He let John let him see seven eyes and seven horns, which seven spirits of God, which God used in the Old Testament. But and that shows the church ages also had broken up into seven parts. Praise God. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vial full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. But now notice you got elders, 24 elders. Nothing about the bride whatsoever here. Well, you see, the point is, if we find our place, there was only one that said, I am the apostle to the Gentile. Yes, there was other apostles. Amen. There was 12 of them that came forth from Jesus. And Judas fell, but they appointed another. So they still had 12. And there was others that you possibly could put in the category of apostle. But there was only one that got a virgin introduced to Christ. You see what I mean? Amen. And there's only one that wrote 14 books for the wife. So we're dealing with that, see. Finding the little book within the big book. Because Christ's getting the bride ready. Amen. All right. Well, look here how they praise him. That's what I wanted you to get. The elders praised him. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Now watch, why was he worthy? He said, for thou was slain, that was at Calvary, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation, tongue, people, every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. We'll stop off here with this part. Amen. But now when we pick up again, we'll not see the big book. We'll see, watch here now, we'll see Revelation 10, that he'll come on from heaven. So, God bless you.